All right, y'all. We are going to start here in just a moment. I'd like to introduce you to Naharada. I tried, I really did. She is coming from Estonia. She loves some free software, data protection, geopolitics, and learning about different cultures and countries. She also spends some time doing photography and some perfumery. Now that's interesting. And she's a certified scuba diver. We've got like multiple athletes today. This is awesome. This is truly awesome. Take it away.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. And welcome to Vossim. Good evening. My name is Niharika. And I work as a project manager at Free Software Foundation Europe. And today I'm going to also be speaking as a consortium member of the Zoom project, which is funded by the European Commission, and it basically aims to integrate the three O's, open hardware, open data, and open software, into an innovation-driven policy. So first off, I'm going to set the agenda for today. Since my talk is based on the AI license proliferation based on ethical considerations, I'm going to start with how openness is also an ethical consideration, followed by the reasons for engaging with free software, and what OpenAI should mean in practice versus its current state. And finally, I'll end with what are the impositions of additional behavioral restrictions by licensing and the implications. So first of all, the concept of openness is subsumed in the definitions provided by free software and open source by FSF and OSI respectively. And free software provides you with four freedoms, that is the freedom to study, use, share, and improve. So essentially, anybody can use and distribute free software by way of a license, a software license, in a non-exclusive manner. Then there are multiple reasons for engaging with free software. Primarily, proprietary licenses, as you know, are fundamentally incompatible with each other. But free software licenses are well standardized, well documented, and have withstood the complex legal issues. And so they seek to curtail the problem of license proliferation by making it more legal interoperable, and also by making license adoption easier. If you're talking about ethics, then free software also helps in promoting digital commons. It helps to promote altruism, democratization of knowledge, and reciprocity, most importantly. And now, if we juxtapose this concept into AI systems, then free software also helps in promoting accessibility, transparency, fairness, explainability. So yeah. So then AI systems don't really operate as traditional software. There are multiple interconnected components, as you see, training data, model architecture, and they require a distinct development process and rely on mostly on specialized resources in the hands of a few big tech companies. So the ideology of free software is essentially mapped into the concept of open AI, but we must be wary about the fact that AI is built differently than traditional free software. And so there are a lot of components at play here. So sometimes the code around the model could be open source or free software oriented, but say the model isn't open source. So, you know, it's fundamentally not the same as a traditional software. And so what is particularly concerning is the popularization of the term open when it comes to AI systems. If you must apply the spirit of the traditional definition of free software and open source, then we must not forget the key pillars that actually make it open, which are transparency, reusability, oversight, and enablement. So now, transparency in the context of AI could mean the ability to access the source code or vet the source code. Reusability could mean to enable any third parties to reuse the code, the data, or documentation. Oversight is basically enabling the ability to inspect and verifying the source code or the documentation, or rather even data about configuration of the AI system. And enablement is basically by disclosing sufficient details of how the AI is built in order to enable a third party to rebuild the same AI system, provided that given the fact that necessary computational resources are provided, and these should be identified by the community building the AI. Now, as you know, the concept of OpenAI is pretty incumbent. That is primarily due to the fact that the definition of AI systems itself is not clearly defined, which would change, of course, with the AI Act. But the concept of openness in AI is also not clearly defined. Now, OSI has taken a great initiative in this regard by defining open source AI. And while doing so, then not only endorsing the four traditional freedoms as provided by free software, as you can see from the definition itself, but they're also trying to widen the spectrum of the definition by including diverse types of AI technologies. And as you see, it also says that they support the efforts on these issues, including appropriate government regulation when it comes to you know, having ethical component built into the definition itself. So until, a really important addition to this is the fact, and I take immense pride in saying this, that leading members of the Zoom consortium are also cooperating and collaborating towards this effort. So I'm hopeful that we would have a comprehensive definition of openness in AI, which would really enable all AI users to use licensing schemes appropriately. So until we have a definition that's been finalized as regards openness in AI is concerned, what we see is that AI labeled as open actually exists on a long gradient. Now, on one end of this gradient, as you see, we have a handful of maximally open AI systems, such as Luca AI. It's a nonprofit, and it has licensed its model under Apache 2.0. There's also GPT Neo that is built and developed by Luca AI. And it's also made all its model weights and parameters, also the documentation and the data around its training and configuration absolutely publicly accessible. Whereas, on the other hand, you have AI systems like Llama 2, which basically claim themselves by Meta, which claim themselves to be open source, but actually forbid users from its use to build other language models. They also provide meaningless, or rather not a very meaningful description or some kind of transparency regarding the data that's being used to build the AI system. So now, given the fact that there's any lack of definition, what we see is that openness actually exists on a long gradient. And if we need to use the term open or free, we need to actually conform to the principles provided by free software and open source software, which take with them a rich history of 40 years of success in having control over software. So, in the last decade, what we observe is that there's been a few diverse groups and individuals who've departed from using free software licenses exclusively to creating certain licenses that actually prioritize restrictions on the use and distribution of software. And this primarily relate to field of endeavor, behavior, community management, commercial practice, and ethical compatibility. So for instance, in 2021, there was Hippocratic License 3.0, which was developed and released by OES, and this specifically prohibits its use for the use of free software in violation of the universal standards of human rights. And this practice has now also spilled over to creation of suo motu ethic codes for AI systems. And that has led to the creation of AI licenses with restrictive additional behaviors. For example, we have Llama 2 by Meta. And as you see, they have an entire appendix dedicated to a lot of prohibitory uses. There's also a similar list by Big Science OpenRail M license. And so essentially, what are the implications of use of these licenses with additional behavioral restrictions? Now, as I see, it also basically creates barriers against use and reuse. As I've just displayed, there are certain terms and conditions which are absolutely ambiguous. And what happens is that the use of these vague terminologies create a very overarching prohibitory use for downstream integration and application of AI systems. Then hurdles to adaption and improvement. This is basically by unauthorizing derivative work or by prohibiting copyleft licenses. Hindrance to control over technology. So the consequence of this long gradient of openness of AI has led to the users not having appropriate control over the technology because of, you know, by way of blocking interoperability. And weakening of oversight and transparency. So proprietary AI systems could also be transparent, but free software basically provides the ability to vet the source code and also improve it. And this also helps to minimize the discriminatory effects of AI systems. So in conclusion to our contribution to the Zoom project, we majorly recommend four recommendations to everyone. First is preserve openness in AI. Now, there's been a dissonance amongst the marketing pitch of these AI efforts versus restriction to software freedom. And this disables control, transparency, and oversight over technology. So there is an imperative need to preserve the openness. Then we talk about keeping licenses interoperable with free software licenses. Now, the emergence of dedicated AI licenses is perceived as a natural progression and a well-desired phenomenon. We only plead in the bargain is that these licenses should actually be interoperable with the free software licenses so that we actually make the AI systems reusable, accessible, and sustainable. And talking about ethical compliance. So ethics is actually deeply rooted in societal values, which actually differ from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. So in order to actually apply any ethical restrictions, we need to be very, very careful before embedding these into technologies. Any kind of restrictive practices based on ethical considerations should be under the purview of law and regulation and not licensing schemes, because licenses aren't a substitute for regulation and they cannot be a substitute for good governance and for legislation. So yeah, with this, I'd like to wrap up my talk. I hope it was insightful and I hope the message is loud and clear. If you call yourself as an open, a license following the principles of open source software or free software, we should and we must respect the freedoms that it comes or it rather provides. So yeah, thank you.
Unfortunately, we don't have time for too many questions. Yes. All right, we will be starting with Steph here in just a couple minutes, so don't go in too far. Yes, sir.